Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age?
All right, welcome on back to another edition of the Baltimore Beatdown podcast. It is Wednesday night, June 22nd, 2022. My name is Jake Luke. I'm joined on my screen by Spencer Nathaniel Schultz. How's it going, bud?
It is not going well, my friend. We have obviously had arguably the saddest day in Baltimore Ravens history. I will say it is the saddest day. We've seen a few other friends lost, brothers, sons, fathers, teammates, you know, all of it lost. But today we unfortunately had two members of the Baltimore Ravens history that passed away, no longer with us. Last night, Jalen Ferguson reportedly passed away in the middle of the night. And I'm guessing somewhere within a few hours there, so did Super Bowl champion, former Baltimore Raven, Tony Siragusa, who has been a storied member of the Ravens franchise and history as well. So very regrettably, the saddest podcast or live stream we'll ever do. A very sad day. Sure, many tears have been shed. I know I teared up definitely multiple times today. It was really rough. Someone that was bigger than life in Tony Siragusa and someone that had so much life still to live. Both fathers, both great men. And we mourn their loss. We wanted to celebrate their lives, hop on tonight and talk about, you know, the legacy they leave behind and their loved ones. Our hearts go out to them first and foremost. I think a lot of times, you know, we want to say, you know, oh, well, we want to wish their teammates, you know, of course we do. We want to be sorry to their teammates, but first and foremost, you know, their kids, their wives, their, you know, parents, their loved ones, their relatives, their friends, their closest loved ones. We wanted to give our most sincere and heartfelt condolences and support and know that, you know, the Ravens Nation does ultimately have the back of those people. And of course, also their teammates, their coaches, everyone that was involved in their lives, the people that they impacted, the people that they have been a guiding light to, and anything of the sort. So it's a very unfortunate circumstance that we have lost two Baltimore Ravens in a mere matter of hours, both today. So I think that ultimately Wednesday, June 22nd, goes down as the saddest day in Baltimore Ravens history. And we just wanted to come on and celebrate the lives of two gentlemen that have, you know, been at the highest pinnacle, been fathers, been lovers, been friends, and also been, you know, outstanding guiding lights to their communities as well. And also football players last, I think it is important to say last. That is what they were last. They were people, they were humans, they were friends and fathers. So they were football players as well, but I don't think that's the most important thing here. And I'm very sad, very, very sad. And the kind of dueling contrast of, you know, someone that was primed to, you know, step into a light and had worked so hard to get into that pinnacle in Jalen Ferguson. And also the contrast there of someone who had done it, but felt like, you know, one of the biggest personalities ever that was gone too soon. So a very sad day. And it's just one that makes you want to hug your loved ones a little closer and hopefully think about things that matter and don't matter ultimately. So Tony Siragusa, Jalen Ferguson, rest in peace. And our hearts go out to their loved ones, their everyone involved in their lives. And hopefully it's going to be a situation that can bring some sort of positivity or silver lining. But today we mourn and celebrate their lives.
Yeah, it's all really well said. I think it's a very just a weird feeling, I think, like doing a podcast in the middle of something like this, especially, you know, a day like this. Like we weren't doing this when Trey Walker passed away. What was that, 6 years ago at this point? Which, you know, I remember that being kind of a shocker, or not kind of a shocker. That was a really big shocker, but not something that I had really experienced as a fan before. And he was kind of weirdly like in a similar spot in his life to where Jalen Ferguson is. So I guess that's sort of your precedent for it. It is it's just incredibly, incredibly sad. And he was the first one to pass. I'm not sure timeline wise if that's 100% accurate, but that's, we got the news of him first. I was driving into the office, actually. I was like walking into the office as the news came across, just very early in the morning. Sounds like it was really, you know, sad circumstances that we don't have to get into, you know, on this pod at all. But yeah, just, you know, he's 26 years old. That's as old as I am. It's a few years younger than you. And it's just incredibly, incredibly tragic to see someone really in the prime of their life and the prime of their career, in the prime of a career that, you know, hadn't really taken off in the way that they had wanted to, but they had every opportunity sitting right in front of them to go and make it happen. And judging, you know, by what you hear from people who knew him, it sounds like, you know, they were confident that it was going to happen because he had the right attitude. He had the work ethic. He had sort of, you know, everyone sort of referencing his smile, everyone sort of referencing the positive attitude that he had. And it wasn't just like kids his age, and it wasn't just people within the linebacker room or anything like that. It was just people from throughout the organization that were tweeting, that were, you know, doing whatever, just getting out positive messages about the guy. And that's definitely, you know, that's something that we want to do when I think people pass away, largely is just kind of look back on the positive. But you know, it never really, it never gets old seeing that kind of stuff for me, because I think that's a really, really nice and beautiful thing to just remember the people, remember the people by the positive, and remember people by the way they positively impacted their lives. And I think you can definitely see that with Jalen and his family. His partner was active on Twitter today, and she was obviously really broken up and just kind of devastated by what had happened. And she seems like a really, really wonderful woman. And I think he has a couple of kids with her, and she was kind of talking a little bit about how it's just going to be hard to move on without him. So I guess we can start with him, talking about him a little bit as a former, what was he, a third round pick out of, was it Louisiana Lafayette, I think, or Louisiana Tech, right? Same as Kenneth Dixon. And yeah, like one of the stories, the very first story about him was he got drafted in 2019. I think there was a hurricane going on in Louisiana, and he did not pick up Eric DaCosta's phone call because he was busy helping with the relief effort. So I think that in and of itself says a lot about the kid, and he's certainly going to be missed, to your points that you made.
And, you know, you don't, you know, we didn't know Jalen personally at all, but you could just tell that, not to compare anyone or anything, but you could just tell that maybe as opposed to some other people around his age over the last couple of years that, I mean, his kids and his fiance Donnie were, you know, or pardon me, maybe his wife, I'm sorry if I got that incorrect, but they both were, or all of them, his son and his two daughters and his, you know, his partner were all the light of his life. You could tell that there was pure joy there, and he loved posting them. He loved being with them. He loved talking about them. He loved having them, you know, at practice and things like that. And he felt like he was that way very much so from the time he stepped foot in Baltimore. So certainly, you know, someone that's impact in his community has been revered very much so, and his college town as well. So, you know, it was really sad. Someone that left behind a really incredible football career and a beautiful family, and was, you know, the FCS, FBS, or excuse me, the FBS all-time leading, you know, sack daddy. He was sack daddy, and came in tons of excitement, you know, practiced his tail off. I don't think anybody ever really had a bad thing to say about him while he didn't, you know, immediately turn into some, you know, whatever as a football player. It felt like there was never any doubt of, can he be here, or can he get things done, or, you know, is he a hard worker or anything like that. I felt like Wink Martindale always had nice things to say about him. His teammates always had nice things to say about him. And that, I think, through the comments that we see from guys like Ronnie Stanley, who just alluded to the fact that he would always go out of his way to make special comments to players and encourage other players around him and be someone that had a shining level of positivity to them and supported their teammates, even if it meant that, you know, it was to his own detriment. And Ronnie Stanley said Jalen had a pure heart. He wanted to be a great player, but he never tried to downplay his teammates to get there. While going against him in practice, he would always tell me when I was doing a good job, even if it meant it was against himself. He was always with a smile and had an eagerness to learn. He wanted to be better for himself as well as his kids. He was so excited every day, and he had a new kid who was about to be born. He always talked about them and how he plays for them. And again, it just really felt like he was a real family man, which is why it's so sad and, you know, makes me a little teary-eyed, because it just felt that way from the time he was really young. So it is really sad. And
that really gets me. I guess we can get a little deep. Like, that makes me want to be a better person, because, like, you know, I'm his age, like I mentioned, and it really had me sitting at my desk at work thinking today about, like, man, what are your priorities here? Like, and it's not to say that, like, being married and having kids, like, makes you a better person, or, like, you know, having that sort of responsibility in the world ultimately is going to change you in any sort of respect. But sometimes I just feel like a man child. I feel like somebody that's not, like, fully developed. And, like, he was like a real man by, like, some of the things that I'm, you know, seeing about him, by the way that people talk about him, and certainly by the way his family talked about him, and what he meant to his kids and what he would have meant to his kids. You know, it doesn't, like, make me totally rethink my priorities or, like, reassess things, but it, like, kind of, you know, it makes me wonder a little bit about myself, and, like, you know, are people going to think that about me at one point? And, like, it just makes me thinking about all that stuff, and if and when it's going to come in my life, it makes me think that he had already had plenty of that, and he had plenty more of that in his future, which makes it all the more tragic. But, you know, he made the impact that he did when he did, and it seems like it was a very big one. So
certainly did. So, really, you know, just terrible. And hopefully, you know, his family and his close loved ones are able to get through a really difficult time and, you know, come out with some level of positivity and be, you know, able to remember him by the legacy he leaves. His kid's obviously so young, so young. He was only 26. So it's really just tragic. And I don't know. Hopefully they can find some sort of solace in knowing that he was a really special person.
Yeah, I think they can. And I think they're, like, I think it's to the Ravens' credit, who always do a good job when unfortunate things like this happen, that they keep, you know, extended family or family in the fold. I think Steve Bisciotti is going to help take care of these kids, and he's going to help make things right. And, you know, kind of to some of the statements that the organization put out there today, and I think that he put out there today, I think they're going to remain in touch with the organization. I think the organization is going to remain involved in all of their lives and kind of help to keep making them whole and everything like that. And yeah, hopefully there is some positive to come out of this. To the point about the circumstances that he did pass under, it is extremely tragic. And like I said, we don't have to go into it, but maybe that's something that we could use some more education on for players, for, you know, look at Lorenzo Taliaferro, who unfortunately passed under similar circumstances by the sound of it. And then you look at a case like a Darren Waller, who was able to kind of get himself on the right path. And you know, it's obviously a non-judgmental thing, but it's just something where you want people to be the best versions of themselves. And it, I think, is a reminder that you can't achieve your way out of certain things. Like, you can't just achieve your way out of, you know, feeling unfulfilled and feeling like you need to turn to certain alleys to make yourself feel better, give yourself.
Everyone's mortal. Everybody's human.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, people are going to make mistakes, and I think it's just hopefully, you know, it leads us to a better, you know, place of education for a lot of these NFL players who go from one set of circumstances to another set of circumstances very quickly. And things, you know, I could foresee them potentially getting out of hand for some guys, and a lot of that being difficult to handle. And it sounds like he handled it really well in a lot of ways. And then maybe, who knows, maybe, you know, things got difficult for him in other ways. But, you know, no matter what, that doesn't deserve to happen to anyone, and it's just really, really tragic.
It is, and it's been nuts this year in particular with the NFL. Jeff Gladney, Dwayne Haskins,
yep,
all, you know, no longer with us. So hopefully, their, you know, the tragic stories of them can have some sort of positive impact in any way, shape, or form, and you know, just be a guiding light in some sense. And that's all we can really wish for in terms of trying to properly, you know, remember them and move forward and be better people. 'Cause that's what it's all about at the end of the day. And, those three guys, you know, have families that are devastated that they've left behind. So it is, tough, really, 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 really tough, really tough.
Yeah, it definitely is. And, as was obviously the passing of Tony Siragusa, Goose, obviously, as everyone knew him by. And that was another one that was just kind of a stone cold shocker. But it was weird in that it kind of started trickling out on Twitter. I guess people began to hear through, you know, secondary sources or whatever. And it, you know, it, you just couldn't get a verified source on it at first. And we were talking in the Slack chat about it. And I almost, you know, didn't want to believe it right when I saw it. I mean, obviously I didn't want to believe it, but it was almost like, dude, there's no way this can happen, like after what just happened this morning. And then sure enough, friend of the show, Rita, sounds like she might have been texting with or was talking to people who were talking to Jamal Lewis, who started to pass around the news that Goose passed away last night. Cause of death, we don't know. But it's just another incredibly tragic situation. And a guy who just completely larger than life is the word that I keep coming back to with him, or the term that I keep coming back to with him, I guess. Just a character who I was probably 5 or 6 when they won the Super Bowl in 2000. I have vivid memories, just a few vivid memories of that team. I remember the game. I remember a couple of the games from that year. It burned into my brain is seeing Tony Siragusa and hearing the nickname Goose. And as a 5, 6-year-old, whatever I was, you just immediately understand like what kind of person that is. It just, it immediately entertains you. Like it kind of likens me to like why I liked and enjoyed the show Seinfeld at a young age, even though it's not for kids. There's just elements of that show, like with Kramer, with the physical comedy. I remember loving it for that reason. And then I remember around the same time in my life, you know, the Ravens and their defense, and not knowing anything about football, but big, funny guy, outspoken, plays a pivotal position along the defensive line, and he's got a cool nickname like Goose. So I just remember I have very fond memories of him from early childhood. And I think to the perspective of the organization, he meant so, so, so much. I was talking about this a little bit on Twitter today, that when you see that logo and when you hear that name, Baltimore Ravens, like that really does mean something throughout the league. And they've only been around for like less than 30 years. Like you think about some of these organizations and the, you know, you look at some of the ones, even like the Bengals, who this year they went on a run and they've established a little bit of an identity, I think, but they were just kind of an organization without an identity for the longest time, for decades and decades. It's like, who are the Cincinnati Bengals? I have no idea. And I don't even like mean this as like a drive-by against the Bengals. It's just hard to find an identity and a personality as an organization.
Especially, you know, as a mid-market team, the Bengals and the Ravens both are.
Yeah, exactly. And the Ravens decidedly have one. Like they decidedly are one of those teams. They are on par, no matter what anyone says that would disagree with the Giants. They're on par with the Steelers. They're on par with the Packers in some ways. And that's because they have that identity and that personality. And that goes back to that 2000 team. And it goes back to the way they constructed it in the late 90s. And a big part of that is Tony Siragusa and just the raunchy, funny, fuck you attitude, the just fun loving, completely just doesn't care what people think of him, but he takes his work seriously. Like that's an attitude that you don't find in a lot of people. And the Ravens were lucky to happen upon him when they did, because they were an organization in need of an identity. They had just moved from Cleveland under very controversial circumstances. A lot of people were not on board with them as an organization. And, you know, they were under Marcia Broda for the first couple of years. And it was just kind of like Art Modell's nearing the end of this life, the end of his life, ostensibly. I mean, he would live for another decade or so, but it's like, what is this organization? What is this team? And, you know, you come to find out that obviously it's Ray Lewis. Obviously it's Shannon Sharp a little bit at the time, but on the, you know, on that defensive line there with Goose, he was definitely one of those guys, Rod Woodson as well, that just completely brought that personality that still to this day they identify with. It all goes back to that team, and he was a huge, huge part of it. And just a guy who he had a lot of stuff coming out on him today, like from in Baltimore and out. Like Mike Silver put out that great Sports Illustrated profile from 2000, I believe, talking a little bit about his start in the NFL and his relationship with his father, who passed away in his arms from a heart attack at age 48, which I think Jonas had put out that he was talking about it on Stern a little bit. I didn't see the clip, but sounds like that was a very poignant thing that affected him very deeply, where he said, I'm just going to take this thing balls to the wall, and I'm just going to blaze a trail with my life, and I'm just going to live it like there's no tomorrow. And he certainly did that. He left a lasting impression on this town. I think it sounds like he left a lasting impression on his family. He just saw his one of his kids graduate from Villanova, it sounds like. And he was just in town last month, I think, for the taping of the 30 for 30 thing they're doing at the 20-whatever anniversary of the 2000.
There's also an event at the Hippodrome for the 20-whatever. I don't know. They had some sort of event to celebrate, I guess. I don't know, not 20 years. I don't know. Celebrate the Super Bowl team.
They were filming there for the 30 for 30. That's kind of why they did it. And so, yeah, that's why he was here. And apparently, you know, Rita was in the crowd and she said he was just holding court, killing it as always. And man, he's one of those guys, you know, he was with the Colts for much of the 90s. And he was just one of those guys who came over here as, you would say, a mercenary, but really not, because a lot of people, or not a lot of people, like, everyone's going to remember him as a Raven for the rest of his life. Same thing, I think. Shannon's going to be a Bronco, obviously, but people are going to remember him for his time with the Ravens. People are going to remember Rod Woodson for his time with the Ravens just as much as they are, I think, with the Steelers and with the Broncos. So, you know, it's just one of those really, really cool things that that was a special team in 2000. And to the point that I guess I've been making a little circuitously, he was a huge personality on it that contributed to that personality that they still identify with to this day. And that is, like, you can only really get that in sports. And I think that's awesome.
100%. And him and Shannon Sharp on Hard Knocks, all of those things, the gregarious. He was one of the rare people who was both a class clown, but also like a badass bully. Like, that's a pretty rare combination of a person. And then you think of the fact that he is the definition of a Jersey Italian football guy growing up in New Jersey, being an elite athlete who is 300, you know, by the time he's on the Ravens, he's 340 pounds, 6'3", just a tank, is like one of the most rare combinations. And really, you know, not that they were the same guy or anything, but it was like our generation and the Ravens version of like Artie Donovan from back in the Baltimore Colts teams, just, you know, the most rugged. And I think it was Pat Narduzzi, it was either him or Sirigu's coach at Pittsburgh, pardon me, but they basically were like, he was the naturally strongest person ever. He hated practice. Brian Baldinger said it was like he didn't need to work out. He was just Sicilian strong and was just the strongest person in the world. He said it. Brian Baldinger said it used to take, they were Colts teammates together, said it used to take him 5 minutes to get ready for practice because he'd wear a t-shirt and his pads in his pants and his shoulder pads. And that was all it was. And he would go out there and he said practice was exactly the phrase you use, more for holding court by that point in his career than it was for practicing and all of those things. And definitely kept it light and definitely identify, you know, it allowed guys like Ray Lewis and younger players, Peter Boulware, you know, other younger players that the Ravens did draft. It felt like it allowed them to step into their personalities because there was Goose, there was Shannon Sharp, there were those veterans throughout. And I think Goose came to the Ravens in 97. And personally, I used to go up, I grew up about 17, maybe 18 minutes from McDaniel, from what was formerly Western Maryland College at the time. And my older brothers used to take me there every summer to watch Ravens training camp. And he was just roasting people, loving the fans, getting everybody pumped up, signing autographs, making jokes, pushing golf carts over, like doing anything, ripping kids around, like in a fun way, you know, tossing them up in the air, whatever. It was a really fun time. And just the quotes that come out of that guy are incredible. I'm pretty sure the NFL did like top 100 personalities or whatever it was. And he was obviously on there. And I think it was Michael Silver did an article I was reading earlier. And he was talking about how Sirigusa was undrafted. He got $1,000 signing bonus, which was like $650 or something after taxes when he signed with the Colts. And he took his first paycheck, went straight to Kenilworth, New Jersey, where he grew up, and just marched back into like the Brothers Tavern bar and slapped all of the cash on the bar and goes, we just drank every single dollar bill that we had. And it was just, as I said earlier on Twitter, it's just like if Tony Soprano, who in The Sopranos was an incredible football player, you know, was the star football player growing up, just became an NFL player. Like it truly was like that. He ends up being in a scene of The Sopranos and he was just bigger than life.
Yeah, he was in The Sopranos. That's fun. It's so funny. And that's going around. And like, he was just like, he was a man of his time, right? He existed in the exact right time for that type of person. Like there are no Tony Siragusas these days, and there might not be ever again. And that's sad, but like he was perfect for that 90s, early 2000s. Like, I'm an NFL player, but I'm going to still like party my face off and just like be kind of a jackass, but also be really fun. And like, it just sort of embodies something that I think I try to live by a little bit, which is, you know, take your work seriously. Don't take yourself too seriously. And I think he was a guy who was serious about his craft, but he was not afraid to have a little bit of fun. And the way that, the NFL has gotten so high stakes and there's all this money involved and there's, you know, trying to protect your brand and all that kind of, you know, what frankly is a little bit bullshit. I get why guys have to do it, but that's just the way that it is. He was just a guy who was not worried about any of that. He just wanted to, he just wanted to murder guys on the football field or whatever he said in the quote about going to Pittsburgh. And yeah, you know, he's buying the whole bar drinks and he's like holding court and like busting people's balls, like in that story. And he's got the Super Bowl coming up and he's talking to his friends in Jersey and kind of, you know, busting their chops about rooting for the Giants and stuff like that. It's just incredibly, incredibly unique. And a guy who, you know, bridged gaps ethnically, maybe a little bit when you think about it, as an Italian, very outspoken Italian guy. You know, he's, you watch him on Hard Knocks and he's getting along and, you know, joking with the black guys, like Shannon with the goose, I want my restitution thing. Like, it just like, and then, you know, he's talking to, apparently Stokely was tweeting some stuff about him today that I retweeted a little bit, how, you know, he was just kind of ripping on Stokely when he first got there as a third round pick in 1999. And then once you get through that veneer, Stokely was like, he was the nicest guy ever and the best to be around. So they, yeah, he just seemed like a guy who was beloved by everyone in that locker room. And then he, he obviously had the career, what was it, with Fox, where for whatever reason he would be like in the end zone and like they would be like a mile away from him, but like it's like, hey Tony, what's going on in the field? It's
just like, we got gigantic Tony Siragusa, the most ridiculous human on earth, down here like by the field goal post talking shit.
Yeah, it was kind of like, and then like now they're doing it with Jay Feely, which is just a fucking disgrace. Like Jay Feely could not fill the shoes of Tony Siragusa in anything, let alone getting on a mic. So that's a disaster. And just a complete and total reminder that Goose is superior in every way, and he will be missed.
Totally was. And you know, that's he was a major reason, him, Sam Adams, like that's why I love football, to, you know, my narcissist moment of this and talk about myself, but like that's why I love football. Them going into the black hole in Oakland and he fucking flattens Rich Gannon, that was who I think was the MVP that year, if I remember correctly. Was, you know, one of the premier players in the NFL at that point, fucking flattens Rich Gannon, knocks him out of the game, and then the Ravens just stomp on their faces, go to the Super Bowl. It was just the most badass gladiator, warlord, freaking are you not entertained stuff. And you know, Ray Lewis was a really young player, and he's the one that, you know, went through, you know, continued playing for another, you know, decade plus. So everybody's like, oh, Ray Lewis. I love Ray Lewis, obviously, whatever. But those guys were at the forefront and allowed him to play freely like that. Like, they were the most imposing defensive front in football. They had Michael McCrary, Rob Burnett, Peter Boulware, Tony Siragusa, Sam Adams, Jelly Dalton, all these guys up front that were just fucking obliterating teams in the most ruthless, brutal, entertaining, old school, badass way possible. And that's what made me fall in love with the game. That's why I like football. And him and Sam Adams, I'm sure Sam Adams is beaten up. I know Melissa Kim of WBAL was speaking with him. She said that she spoke with Sam Adams. He said, when people think of playing defensive line, we changed the way people think of what a defensive lineman was. So that man was special on the field. I was the only new guy on the line the year I came in. Tony was accepting of me and welcomed me in as a partner. It was truly a blessing to know him. And he said that his favorite Tony Siragusa memory, or two favorite memories from Tony Siragusa, 2001 minicamp. He said the Joker left me hanging one year, decided to land on the practice field in a helicopter for practice. And then he said his next favorite one was Marvin Lewis had interviewed for a Bills job and didn't get it. During pre-practice, Tony called him out and asked Marvin, what are you going to do with all those snowblowers now, Marvin? Saying, like, I think you have it locked up. And then he said he'll miss his smile, and the smile is now gone forever. So those guys, you know, I would encourage everybody to go back and watch all the fantastic documentaries on that team. And we'll have this 30 for 30 coming out. That'll be fantastic. But just growing up as a young Ravens fan, he was larger than life, and He was literally larger than life. He was literally a behemoth man with a personality that made him even larger, which was unthinkable. And just an incredible personality for this team. And like you said, Jake, is a major foundation upon which the, you know, the figurative character of the Ravens franchise is built. So if you're a younger listener, a younger fan, just know Tony Siragusa is what the Baltimore Ravens are and epitomize and have for so long. And that's why people say he's a major reason why when feel like, oh, Kyle Hamilton gets drafted to the Ravens, what is, you know, the first comments he has, like, oh, I'm going to Baltimore. They play defense. Like, that's Goose. That's Sam Adams. That's those guys. And so that will always live on forever. So I'm really excited for this 30 for 30. Very sad. Glad he got, you know, a decent bit of time on this earth for a very large man, for sure. So rest in peace to Tony Siragusa. He'll be remembered for, you know, until the end of time, especially by Ravens fans. So unbelievable person and unbelievable player, and sad to see him go, but happy he got, you know, got his jokes off for five plus decades.
Yeah, no, it's, and I'm really glad you mentioned the why I fell in love with the sports thing, because it's the same thing for me. I love the competition aspect of it. I really love the storytelling aspect of it. And like, that's why I'm kind of harping on like the identity building and the personality and all that stuff, because at the end of the day, really it's people. And, that's what storytelling is, you know, people's stories going throughout their lives. And, sounds like he had quite a hell of a one, and he was a big part of a hell of a one with that 2000 team, which is just such an amazing story in its own right. And, you know, hopping on here and talking about these two guys, not just Tony, but Jalen as well. It's, I think a reminder of why we watch sports and, why we're doing this whole podcasting thing. It's just, we love these guys. We love that they, you know, put their bodies on the line, that they put their time and effort into showing that they can execute the hardest physical possible things, the hardest mental challenges, of overcoming loss, of overcoming adversity, whatever it might be. We love the stories of them doing so, and we love them for doing it a lot of the time. And these two guys are prime examples of that. I think Tony especially was a guy who just a fucking gladiator, man. Like, and just an absolute beast. You know, he's a big part of that Titans rivalry that year in 2000. He's kind of one of the faces of that. I mean, that's just like, that's why I watch sports. Like, and that's kind of why, and not to turn this into another conversation, but it's kind of why I just get a little burned out on all the, you know, the wide receivers. Are they going to sign a guy? It's like, you know what? Like roster construction and all that. Like, I get it. I'm totally interested in that stuff too, a lot of the time. But at the end of the day, like, I'm into this thing because of the storytelling, because of the personalities, because of the people. And we lost two of those people today, and that's really sad. But Tony's, one of his quotes from that Silver article that you mentioned from Sports Illustrated from, you know, 20 odd years ago, which you guys should go and check out. It, you know, harps on, I think, where he was in the point of the history of the game. And it sort of harps on maybe the end of the days of the, you know, defensive football and sort of that encroachment of civilization that is, you know, the offensive league now on the Wild West that was the defense and kind of the, you know, crazy personalities of back in the day with 20 years ago, where he says, my abilities were overlooked for a long time, but people are starting to see that I'm a piece of the puzzle. When I was in college, people told me, sure, you can stop the run, but anyone can do that. If you want to make money in the NFL, you've got to rush the passer. That's bullshit. It's like all the people who tell you you've got to be in computers to make money. Yeah, you know what? You still need a fucking plumber to fix your toilet. And the scarcer they are, the more money they'll make. Because what are you going to do? Call a fucking computer guy to fix your fucking crapper?
And the absurdity to which that has come to fruition and how much plumbers make. And
it's like 20 years ago. And like
all of it. And into the sport, into life, into everything. It doesn't ring truer than that. And you're well said. That's the best part of it, the story of it. And guys like that will always have a place in any room. And if they want that room to be football, they'll have a place there when you're that special and you get it and it clicks in a certain way. So love it. All just unbelievable quotes left and right. Him and Shannon Sharp fucking around was the best, and everything in between.
Yep, absolutely. So certainly sad to lose those two guys. that's pretty much all we've got for tonight. It would have felt weird. We were planning to hop on here and talk a little bit about like the mini camp and everything that went on last week and Lamar's comments, but it doesn't feel right, you know, talking about that, all that nonsense after what happened today. So that's kind of all I've got on those two guys. You got anything else?
Yeah, I just think it puts it all in perspective. Our buddy Tony here in the comments too, couldn't said it better. Win one for the Gipper season, you know, stop worrying about all the high frequency bullshit. If you're a fan of the Baltimore Ravens, then you're someone playing on the Baltimore Ravens or a member of the organization. If you're, you know, a chef in the Ravens facility, or you're a player, or you're a coach, or you're Steve Bisciotti, or whatever it is, it's time to stop worrying about dumb shit that doesn't matter and do it. Do the damn thing. Go, you know, it's win one for the Gipper. That doesn't have to mean win a Super Bowl, which would be incredible, and I would love for that to happen. But win for the Gipper means stop worrying about shit that doesn't matter. Buckle up and go try your hardest. Go do what you know is right. And remember those guys the right way. Jalen Ferguson was on the field with those guys a couple days ago. And I know guys like Tony Jefferson, Patrick Queen, you know, all those guys that were really close, Tyus Bowser, all those guys were really close with him. Hopefully, you know, that can move forward through a lot of negativity and bad things and, you know, past failures or whatever it may be, shit that doesn't matter. And hopefully, you know, from the Ravens' perspective, it can be a guiding light that galvanizes them and propels them moving forward. Because if you don't have that attitude, then you're not remembering Jalen Ferguson the right way, and you're not thinking about the franchise that you play for that was built upon Tony Siragusa. So time to buckle up, get to work, and fucking do the damn thing. Go be the best you can be.
Yeah, and we'll have plenty more to say on that when the time comes. I'm sure we'll be back with regularly scheduled programming, a little bit of analysis, next time we hop in here. But just felt like it wouldn't have been right not to do something like this tonight. So I'm glad we did it. I think we said a lot of good things. And anything else?
Cole in the comments here chimed in. He's with his baby, so he was going to join us for a moment, but he's a new daddy. And he said, Tony literally responded to my random Instagram message on June 2nd. I asked him to come on the channel, two guys watching football, and do an interview. And his response was, sure thing, man. Let's link up in July. He didn't ask me anything. He just said yes. So be that person.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. That's a great message, I think. Just kind of, do what Tony did, which was he said in that article, you know, as soon as my father passed away in my arms, I just decided it's like the Allman Brothers song. I'm not going to waste time anymore. And he certainly blazed a trail, and he's gone too young for sure. But he made the most of his time on earth. That's for damn sure. And it seems like Jalen Ferguson did as well. So two, absolute mentions of guys, and the world is going to be worse off without them. But, let's try and take some positives from it, I guess.
Absolutely. Love all of our listeners. Love you guys. Hope this can serve as, some sort of positivity in a dark spot and go from there. You know, it's summer. Things are, the world is okay. We've got problems in it, but want to remember those guys. Rest in peace to Tony Siragusa, Goose, and rest in peace to Jalen Ferguson, Sack Daddy, two of the greatest nicknames in Baltimore Ravens history, if not the two greatest nicknames in Baltimore Ravens history. So remember those guys forever. They're legends, and legends never die.
Absolutely, they don't. Thank you guys for listening. We'll be back, like I said, regularly scheduled programming, talking some football, talking some hopefully a little more lighthearted stuff, but definitely was necessary to hop in here and do this. So, like I said, thanks, and we'll talk to you guys later.
See ya.
Arrivederci.
Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age?
Everything out of me. They gonna get a Super Bowl out of me. Need that. Need that.